Unit 10. Globalization and Anti-Globalization.
One can hardly turn on television, open a newspaper or magazine, or visit a website without hearing or seeing the term globalization. Surprisingly, although it has become a part of the world's vocabulary, there is no precise definition for this word. Most experts agree that it refers to the increasing integration of economies around the world, especially through international trade and the flow of money across borders. Additionally, they say, it refers to the movement of people, both tourists and immigrants who come to work in other countries. And finally, to the international flow of knowledge and information. Whatever its exact definition may be, globalization has clearly become one of the top issues of our time. There are two important points to keep in mind about globalization. First, it is not a new process. The economic forces that have created globalization have existed since at least the 19th century. The process was disrupted by the Great Depression and by two world wars. But after World War II, it continued, growing even stronger in the 1980s and 1990s. It was slowed by economic meltdowns in Korea, Brazil, Russia, Mexico, Thailand, and elsewhere, and by terrorism. But it still goes on. Second, the process has not spread evenly throughout the world. Each year, A.T. Kearney, Inc., and Foreign Policy Magazine rate nations according to their degree of global integration. This year, Ireland edged out Singapore as the most globalized country. Singapore came in third this year. Most others in the top 20 were smaller European countries, including Switzerland, second, the Netherlands, fourth, Finland, fifth, and the United Kingdom, 10th. Others in the top 20 included Canada, 7th, the United States, 12th, Israel, 17th, New Zealand, 19th, and Malaysia, 20th. This survey did not rank the least 20 globalized countries, but experts believe most of these nations are in Africa, with a few in Asia and Latin America. Defenders of globalization believe that it is the key to international peace and prosperity. They want to create a borderless world, and they want to remove as many stumbling blocks to globalization as possible. However, opponents view it with fear and hostility. They oppose organizations such as the World Trade Organization, WTO, the World Bank, WB, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the G8, and protest their meetings. Beginning with the protests at the WTO meeting in Seattle in 1999, also known as the Battle of Seattle, militant demonstrations have been held in Prague, Quebec City, Genoa, and other cities. The anti-globalization movement actually consists of many different kinds of organizations, including labor unions, human rights groups, and environmental organizations. Some radical anti-globalizationists, called localists, believe that international trade and activity should be greatly curtailed and that power should be returned to the national, regional, and local level. Most anti-globalizationists are more moderate, however, and consider the localists' views provincial. They favor an approach called anti-corporate globalization, or fair globalization, in which international trade and cooperation still exist, but benefit people in general rather than giant corporations. One issue that anti-globalizationists often discuss concerns the gap between haves and have-nots. As union leader Jay Mazur said, globalization has dramatically increased inequality between and within nations. However, those in favor of globalization argue that income is distributed more evenly in developing countries that have made some effort to globalize, such as China, India, Poland, and Vietnam, than it is in non-globalizers, such as Nigeria, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and the Ukraine. Supporting this point, Mexico's former president, Ernesto Zedillo, has said that whenever a poor nation has significantly overcome its poverty, it has done so while producing goods for export and opening up to foreign goods, investment, and technology. In other words, by becoming more globalized. Another objection made by anti-globalizationists, especially labor union leaders, is that globalization has taken well-paying jobs away from workers in developed countries and moved them to developing countries. International companies take advantage of lax labor laws in developing countries, the labor leaders say, and these companies pay low wages and force workers, including children, to work long hours in unsafe, miserable conditions. Globalizationists admit there has been some loss of jobs in developed countries. However, they believe that retraining programs can help workers find new jobs in other fields, such as in service and information-based industries. Globalizationists also point out that in developing countries, wages and working conditions in international factories are usually better than those in local factories. Many environmental organizations also oppose globalization. They say that environmental laws in developing countries are likely to be weaker than those in industrialized countries. They believe international corporations use the air and water of developing nations to get rid of toxic materials. Globalizationists, on the other hand, argue that international corporations generally use state-of-the-art computer-regulated technology in their factories and are therefore less polluting than locally owned factories. Furthermore, they point out, there has been an increased awareness of environmental issues around the world, spread by global media. The people of many nations are unwilling to tolerate environmental destruction for the sake of development. Costa Rica, South Africa, Sri Lanka, and other countries have learned that pristine natural areas attract tourism. Finally, anti-globalizationists insist that corporations simply have too much power. Many large international companies are actually more economically powerful than many national governments. In fact, if a corporation can have an economy in the way that a nation does, then 51 of the top 100 economies belong to corporations, and only 49 are nations. Because of their size, global corporations can sell their products much cheaper than local companies, and they can afford expensive advertising. This puts local companies at a disadvantage, and many go bankrupt. Thus, standardized Western products, from fast food to movies to computer operating systems, dominate world markets and world culture. French farmer José Bové became a hero to anti-globalizationists when he demolished a construction site where a worldwide hamburger chain was building a new restaurant. But globalizationists argue that when local companies are forced to compete in the global marketplace, they become stronger and more efficient companies. They also say that problems that occur as a result of the power of global companies are outweighed by the benefits that these companies bring.
Decide if the statements are true or false. Fill in the space of the circled T or F according to what you hear or remember from the reading. Globalization and anti-globalization.
One can hardly turn on television, open a newspaper or magazine, or visit a website without hearing or seeing the term globalization. Surprisingly, although it has become a part of the world's vocabulary, there is no precise definition for this word. Most experts agree that it refers to the increasing integration of economies around the world, especially through international trade and the flow of money across borders. Additionally, they say, it refers to the movement of people, both tourists and immigrants who come to work in other countries. And finally, to the international flow of knowledge and information. Whatever its exact definition may be, globalization has clearly become one of the top issues of our time.
1. Most experts agree that the term globalization refers to the integration of economies. 2. Globalization also refers to the easy movement of information and people across borders.
There are two important points to keep in mind about globalization. First, it is not a new process. The economic forces that have created globalization have existed since at least the 19th century. The process was disrupted by the Great Depression and by two world wars. But after World War II, it continued, growing even stronger in the 1980s and 1990s. It was slowed by economic meltdowns in Korea, Brazil, Russia, Mexico, Thailand, and elsewhere, and by terrorism. But it still goes on. Second, the process has not spread evenly throughout the world. Each year, A.T. Kearney, Inc., and Foreign Policy Magazine rate nations according to their degree of global integration. This year, Ireland edged out Singapore as the most globalized country. Singapore came in third this year. Most others in the top 20 were smaller European countries, including Switzerland, second, the Netherlands, fourth, Finland, fifth, and the United Kingdom, 10th. Others in the top 20 included Canada, 7th, the United States, 12th, Israel, 17th, New Zealand, 19th, and Malaysia, 20th. This survey did not rank the least 20 globalized countries, but experts believe most of these nations are in Africa, with a few in Asia and Latin America.
3. The process of globalization began in the 1980s. Four. The most recent study indicated that Singapore is the most globalized country in the world. Five. The study listed both the most globalized nations and the least globalized ones.
Defenders of globalization believe that it is the key to international peace and prosperity. They want to create a borderless world, and they want to remove as many stumbling blocks to globalization as possible. However, opponents view it with fear and hostility. They oppose organizations such as the World Trade Organization, WTO, the World Bank, WB, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the G8, and protest their meetings. Beginning with the protests at the WTO meeting in Seattle in 1999, also known as the Battle of Seattle, militant demonstrations have been held in Prague, Quebec City, Genoa, and other cities. The anti-globalization movement actually consists of many different kinds of organizations, including labor unions, human rights groups, and environmental organizations. Some radical anti-globalizationists, called localists, believe that international trade and activity should be greatly curtailed and that power should be returned to the national, regional, and local level. Most anti-globalizationists are more moderate, however, and consider the localists' views provincial. They favor an approach called anti-corporate globalization or fair globalization, in which international trade and cooperation still exist, but benefit people in general rather than giant corporations. One issue that anti-globalizationists often discuss concerns the gap between haves and have-nots. As union leader Jay Mazur said, globalization has dramatically increased inequality between and within nations. However, those in favor of globalization argue that income is distributed more evenly in developing countries that have made some effort to globalize, such as China, India, Poland, and Vietnam, than it is in non-globalizers, such as Nigeria, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and the Ukraine. Supporting this point, Mexico's former president, Ernesto Cedillo, has said that whenever a poor nation has significantly overcome its poverty, it has done so while producing goods for export and opening up to foreign goods, investment, and technology. In other words, by becoming more globalized. A Another objection made by anti-globalizationists, especially labor union leaders, is that globalization has taken well-paying jobs away from workers in developed countries and moved them to developing countries. International companies take advantage of lax labor laws in developing countries, the labor leaders say, and these companies pay low wages and force workers, including children, to work long hours in unsafe, miserable conditions. Globalizationists admit there has been some loss of jobs in developed countries. However, they believe that retraining programs can help workers find new jobs in other fields, such as in service and information-based industries. Globalizationists also point out that in developing countries, wages and working conditions in international factories are usually better than those in local factories.
6. Nigeria, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and the Ukraine are given as examples of countries that have not taken significant steps towards globalization. Seven. Anti-globalizationists say that corporations damage the environment in developing countries by taking advantage of weak laws there.
Many environmental organizations also oppose globalization. They say that environmental laws in developing countries are likely to be weaker than those in industrialized countries. They believe international corporations use the air and water of developing nations to get rid of toxic materials. Globalizationists, on the other hand, argue that international corporations generally use state-of-the-art computer-regulated technology in their factories and are therefore less polluting than locally owned factories. Furthermore, they point out, there has been an increased awareness of environmental issues around the world, spread by global media. The people of many nations are unwilling to tolerate environmental destruction for the sake of development. Costa Rica, South Africa, Sri Lanka, and other countries have learned that pristine natural areas attract tourism. Finally, anti-globalizationists insist that corporations simply have too much power. Many large international companies are actually more economically powerful than many national governments. In fact, if a corporation can have an economy in the way that a nation does, then 51 of the top 100 economies belong to corporations, and only 49 are nations. Because of their size, global corporations can sell their products much cheaper than local companies, and they can afford expensive advertising. This puts local companies at a disadvantage, and many go bankrupt. Thus, standardized Western products, from fast food to movies to computer operating systems, dominate world markets and world culture. French farmer José Bové became a hero to anti-globalizationists when he demolished a construction site where a worldwide hamburger chain was building a new restaurant. But globalizationists argue that when local companies are forced to compete in the global marketplace, they become stronger and more efficient companies. They also say that problems that occur as a result of the power of global companies are outweighed by the benefits that these companies bring.
8. Globalizationists say that countries such as Costa Rica and South Africa preserve natural lands in order to attract tourists. Nine. A slight majority of the 100 most important economies in the world belong to corporations, not countries. Ten. Globalizationists consider José Bové their hero.